Then the next item is 1014, and it's my understanding, Michelle, we're going to take the emergency clause off of this. Is that correct? Very good. So why don't you read item 1014?
Authorize charitable organizations eligible to participate in the city's 2019 charitable campaign and authorize exemptions for charities not meeting the 25% overhead cost cap requirement.
Very good. And colleagues, I'd like to move that we remove the emergency clause from this item.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to remove the item. Could we take call the roll, please?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Very good. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Carmen Merlo. I'm the Deputy Chief Administrative Officer for the Office of Management and Finance, and I'm here today with the ordinance to authorize participants for the 2019 citywide charitable campaign. The charitable campaign is an annual benefit to raise money for local, national, and international charities by allowing city employees to donate to participating organizations through payroll deductions. This year, the campaign will begin on November 5th and will run through November 30th. We've received 20 applications from organizations wishing to participate this year. 8 of those organizations are city-partnered nonprofits, and 12 are umbrella organizations representing nearly 400 individual charities. After reviewing the applications, the Charitable Campaign Advisory Committee, made up of your appointees, recommended that all 20 organizations be approved to participate in this year's campaign. 47 of the umbrella's individual charities require special exemption, as they currently are ineligible based on the city's 25% overhead cap requirement. Those organizations are listed in the handout that we've provided you. All costs incurred for the charitable campaign are paid for by the participating organizations, and there's no cost to the city for this campaign. Employees that wish to participate can select either a one-time payroll deduction or can contribute each pay period. We expect that donations will begin with the first paycheck in January of 2019. And then for your reference, last year we had 496 employees that contributed more than $260,000. The citywide charitable campaign represents an important way for city employees to give back to their community, and I'm so pleased to bring this ordinance forward for your approval. I'd like to turn it over now to the campaign coordinator, Janet Storm, who will give you a little bit more background on the committee's work.
Good morning. My name is Janet Storm. I am with OMF Business Operations, and I'm the Citywide Charitable Campaign Coordinator. I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you to the Charitable Campaign Advisory Committee. They did an amazing job this year. They are Mary Gay Broderick, Trevon Myrie, Pollyann Burge, Betsy Quituga, and Janine Gates. So they were a pleasure to work with. If the ordinance is ultimately approved, as Carmen said, the 2019 charitable campaign will begin on November 5th and run through November 30th. 8 city-partnered nonprofits and 12 umbrella organizations representing nearly 400 local, national, and international charities have applied for this campaign. The Charitable Campaign Advisory Committee is recommending approval of all 8 city-partnered nonprofits and the 12 umbrella organizations. During the application process, the Campaign Advisory Committee and Business Operations conducted a review of the campaign eligibility requirements, and then we did an analysis of each of the more than 400 organizations that applied for participation. The analysis involved checking the licensing status in the state of Oregon, examining each organization's mission, their delivery of services, board membership, non-discrimination policies, and audited financial statements and IRS 990 forms. As a result of this analysis, we discovered that more than 50 organizations at the time appeared to be ineligible for participation based on the city's 25% overhead cap requirement. What that means is the overhead includes the charity's administrative expenses, such as office staff and computers, and fundraising expenses. And when you measure that against their total revenue, it cannot exceed 25%. We notified the umbrella organizations, and as a result, several charities were able to submit more recent financials showing that they were, in fact, in compliance. So now the total number of ineligible organizations as of this moment are the 47 that are listed on the handout. Most of these charities are small organizations. They support the elimination of prejudice and poverty. They provide services for minorities and the underprivileged, support public arts, and work to protect the environment. The committee then deliberated on this issue for more than a month and conducted extensive best practices research. They discovered that the State of Oregon, Metro, and Multnomah County annual charitable campaigns don't contain any such limit on overhead expenditures. And they also learned that the State of Oregon enacted a consumer protection law in 2013, whereby a charity's license in Oregon can be revoked if the three-year average of their overhead expenses exceeds 70%. So that is a statewide protection. The committee then consulted with the Oregon Association of Nonprofits, the Better Business Bureau Wise Giving Alliance, GuideStar, and Charity Navigator. All are of the opinion that using overhead ratios to determine a charity's soundness is a major contributor to what they call the nonprofit starvation cycle, which occurs when organizations attempt to meet donor overhead expectations by underfunding vital infrastructure. And all of them have stated that other factors such as transparency, government leadership, and results offer a more accurate indicator of a nonprofit's health. As a result of what the Campaign Advisory Committee learned from this research, they are of the opinion that the city's 25% overhead cap may not be in line with current best practices, but that it will need more time to that the committee will need more time to arrive at an appropriate recommendation. So the committee is recommending that the overhead requirement be waived for this year only to allow those 47 organizations to participate, and then the committee will come back and make a more specific recommendation to you in time for the 2020 campaign. So in closing, the Committee on Business Operations would like to thank Council for hearing this today and for your consideration, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Saltzman.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with the thoroughness of the committee's work. That was a very impressive track record. And I'm opposed to this because I feel it just goes against the grain of common sense. You were confronted with a problem. My God, 47 organizations have a higher administrative rate than 25%. And, you know, in my world, I would say, sorry, you're out of luck. And I think we owe it to our employees who are taking advantage of this campaign to give to these charities and probably don't have time to investigate, you know, what the administrative rate is on all these charities. We need to be, you know, that beacon that's looking out for them. And so, instead of saying, sorry, you're out of luck, those that are over 25%, we're proposing to just waive the administrative limit altogether. So organizations that are spending as much as 50% or 70% on administration can get money from our employees. And sure, some of them are small nonprofits doing good work, but if you're a $100,000 budget and you're spending $50,000 to $70,000 on a staff person, what are you doing in the way of any concrete programming? Chances are the one person who works for that organization is just fundraising and fundraising and fundraising. And I would really, you know, I hope this committee looks, you know, what is the real work getting done by these organizations, particularly the small ones where over half or 70% of the money is going for administration. You know, and given the committee's extensive work and well-qualified people, I'm just totally baffled that we seem to be moving backwards on this from what I think most people would say, you know, keep your administrative rates low. And people look at that. I don't care what DOJ says or best practices are of other charities, what they tell you are best practices, because they don't want to be bound by administrative rates. But I will tell you that consumers, ordinary people, that's a big thing. I mean, you know, watch a TV expose of some charity that's spending 90% on administration. They come all the time on TV. So this is what matters, and it's understandable to a layperson. So I'm just, I'm opposed to it, and I'm baffled. And I would point out, finally, that we ourselves hold ourselves to much lower administrative rates. And we do that to get voter approval of our bonds. The Portland Housing Bond has a 5% administrative rate. The Metro Housing Bond has a 5% administrative rate. Portland Children's Levy has had a 5% administrative rate for 15 years. Even the Arts Tax had a 5% administrative rate. And that's going away, I'm convinced. But it's just, we are talking constantly to our voters about keeping administrative expenses low. And then on the other hand, we're turning around and saying to our employees, never mind, don't look at that. It's not a best practice. All the other charities are all against it. They say it's not a best practice. But so it just defies common sense, and that's why I am going to vote against this. And I really, you talk about having another year to look at it. To me, this is the first sign of administrative cap. It's gone if this ordinance passes, because you'll come back a year from now. You won't have solved the problems. You'll have the same dilemmas, and you'll have the same 47 organizations leaning on you, and it's going to basically be a permanent waiver of the administrative cap.
Mayor.
Commissioner Daly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work on this. I want to say that at first glance, I was of similar mind to Commissioner Saltzman, but once I delved into this item with my staff, I realized what the issue is. We are looking at nonprofits as if they all serve the same purpose or function the same way. It's one thing to say to Red Cross, who is gathering money from individuals to give to people in crisis, you need to keep your administrative costs low. It's another thing to say to an organization such as Oregon Public Broadcasting that you have to limit your administrative costs to 25%. Well, they're not gathering money from the public saying that they're going to do charitable giving with it. They're gathering money from the public to fund their nonprofit and their programming and their organization. There's other organizations that I'm deeply familiar with or previously involved with, Portland Gay Men's Chorus, Q Center, the Street Trust, 350 PDX, Portland Institute for Contemporary Art, right around Portland. These are vital, upstanding, professional, well-run organizations. They are not misusing their funds. They're simply not collecting money from one set of people to give it to another. So it's very understandable to me why we need to make this change. And I guess the alternative is just we continue to make special exceptions for charities that our employees want to give money to that don't meet this pretty arbitrary criteria that we've set. So what is the alternative? I'm asking staff.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what the committee wants to take some time to decide. There were many ideas that were looked at in their meetings, and they realized that they were running out of time because the campaign is typically in the fall.
Yeah.
So they did not feel that they had anything that was solid enough to bring to you at that time, but they also wanted to make sure that the due diligence that they had done was understood. So that's why they suggested a waiver for 1 year and then coming back and, possibly, I can't put words in their mouths, but perhaps they would come up with another figure that might feel more reasonable.
Or maybe a way to distinguish between different types of organizations, because it's absolutely understandable why some of these organizations would have high overhead costs.
Right.
It's a performance venue. Their biggest cost is going to be that maintaining that venue. And also, it's not really fair to compare charitable efforts that are run through the city to these nonprofits, because we are funding them. I mean, the Children's Levy is funded through a tax, not through someone who's paid to sit in their office and do fundraising. So They're just, you know, nuances to this conversation that I think are being lost.
And I guess I would be remiss if I didn't say one option ought to be considered is, you know, we have how many employees? 600 employees that gave last year?
A little under 500.
500 for, and we raised $266,000. I mean, that's for a city that employs 6,000 people. That's not very robust. And I would suggest, you know, we probably take a cut, United Way takes a cut, and then the organization gets something. So, you know, I would suggest maybe one of the options be considered that we do away with the employee giving program altogether and just urge our employees to contact these well-meaning organizations directly and save them money by contributing directly to them rather than through the city, through United Way, or whatever.
Commissioner Saltzman, if I could, I think one of the benefits of this program is the ease with which we enable employees to contribute, so they're not making perhaps a one-time donation, which many people might not afford. They're able to do it over the course of the year through payroll deduction. So I think it would be a huge loss if we took away the program altogether.
Very good. Is there a public I'm sorry, Commissioner.
No, I'm done. Yeah.
Public testimony. Who is signed up?
Yes, we have three people, four people, Shedrick J. Wilkins, Wendy Hovey, and Megan Humphreys.
Very good. Thank you. Name for the record, please. You know the drill.
Mr. Shedrick.
Shedrick Wilkins. I wish to announce this, that I consider the use of the Temple Beth Israel as a shelter for homeless people as a contribution, a charitable contribution to the city of Portland. The use of resources. When I was homeless, every feeding center shut down except in 2011, the community center near Temple Beth Israel, which is ran by the synagogue, was the first largest synagogue west of the Mississippi. Okay, I actually been there, and I had an eighth grade Jewish teacher named Mrs. Berenstein at Madison High School, and my relatives are all Christian. And when I was a veteran, on my dog tags, I could have said Jewish, but I decided to say Christian in case my mother wanted to know about things. But anyway, the real truth is, because Commissioner Saltzman's openly Jewish, I will announce that I am Jewish where the Jewish faith thinks I'm Jewish. Okay? And my son one time said, I'm a Christian, and I'm pushing the Christian religion. I'm Jewish. So I will talk, if Commissioner Saltzman thinks, who's openly Jewish, that the Jewish opinion is not represented, and it is because I also respect the commissioner's development of the art stacks, which to me is a way to make sure that children are, despite cuts in the K-12 state budget, kids get still exposed to the arts and can learn to read at least. So that's important, whether they learn any science or not, that's a different opinion. So I am now Jewish, whether the Jewish faith accepts it. And I think that's one of the sad things that Commissioner Saltzman is he has provided the city council for at least 20 years a Jewish influence. So I'm Jewish, and I will do that because I just heard that, you know, this was it this fall or this last winter, the Temple Beth Israel is a home allows, how much would it cost the city to put 100 people in a homeless shelter? That is a charitable contribution. How much would it cost for the city of Portland to have a Christmas party and feed homeless people? That is a charitable contribution with no overhead staff. Okay, I'm Jewish.
Hello, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners Udaly and Saltzman. My name is Wendy Hovey, Workplace Giving Coordinator at the Regional Arts and Culture Council. As advocates for arts and culture in the Portland metro area, RAC is in full support of waiving the 25% overhead cap that excludes some of our funded groups from representation in the city's charitable campaign. Our funded groups in jeopardy are small to mid-sized organizations. Combined, they serve more than 115,000 kids and adults each year through substantial arts education programs, equitable access to arts and culture experiences, and performances and programs that nurture diversity of thought and self-expression. these organizations deserve to be represented in the city's charitable campaign. RAC does not consider overhead percentages as part of our grant-making processes. Commissioner Udaly was correct a moment ago in stating that there are a myriad ways in which nonprofits can legally report their program, administration, and fundraising costs, and every organization does it differently. That makes overhead ratios a poor indicator of an organization's community impact and financial efficiency. Overhead is the lifeblood of nonprofit organizations, encompassing the staff who run the programs, staff training and professional development, strategic planning, evaluation and audits, technology, and fundraising so that they can support and grow the programs and services on behalf of our communities. There are nonprofits across many sectors in the campaign that are affected by this cap. They are organizations working to end environmental degradation, racism, and poverty. They fight for social justice and provide services for our community members who live on the streets. They mentor our youth, strengthen families, and prevent child abuse. The work that our funded and member groups do is more important now than ever. They need our advocacy and support instead of barriers and burden. Thank you to the Campaign Advisory Committee for their thoughtful discussions and recommendation to waive the overhead cap, to Janet Storm, campaign coordinator extraordinaire, who has pulled together no small amount of information and kept us informed. And we are grateful to each of you for empowering city employees to connect with and support the causes that are meaningful to them through the charitable campaign. We are proud to be your partners in this work. I hope that you will vote in favor of waiving the 25% administrative fundraising cap for this fall's campaign, and RAC looks forward to further conversations that will lead to changes in the code for future campaigns. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. My name is Megan Humphreys, and I'm a director for EarthShare Oregon, which is one of the umbrella organizations in this campaign. We work with more than 100 nonprofits to bring them into annual workplace giving programs like the City of Portland's. And we ensure that the organizations on EarthShare's list represent not only a wide range of environmental and conservation work, but they're also responsible, accountable organizations that make a difference in the lives of Oregonians. These organizations protect our most precious resources, our air, drinkable water, wildlands, farmlands, and the livability in our cities that we're currently enjoying. But they cannot do the sophisticated work that is needed to fill that role or be good stewards of the funds that are donated to them without so-called overhead, like experienced staff, working computers, financial accounting and auditing services, and a suitable office space. These are things most businesses and government agencies take for granted, but nonprofits are penalized for being professional organizations. And why is that? It's because people have heard in recent years that nonprofit overhead is a monolithically bad thing and that nonprofits should have little to none of it. But, you know, recent academic research actually refutes this assumption. One university study that was published just this month in the Journal of Nonprofit Management and Leadership found that lower overhead rates do not equate to efficiency. Their analysis of more than 600 Habitat for Humanity affiliates across the country determined that it was actually the exact opposite. The researchers concluded that using low overhead rates to measure efficiency is potentially misleading to donors and thus should be avoided. The myth that low overhead indicates a good nonprofit starves nonprofit organizations of the resources that they need to be effective servants of our communities and effective stewards of our donations. They can't keep track of our donations if hiring a bookkeeper or conducting their annual audit is out of the question because it would increase their overhead ratio. They can't really be effective if they can't hire a qualified executive director. For many local nonprofits, even something as small as buying one laptop computer can push overhead beyond what this particular city code governing the campaign has arbitrarily decided is an unacceptable number. So I hope that you will all vote in favor of this ordinance today. It would allow important nonprofits providing services that we all count on for the health of our communities to participate in this giving campaign this fall. And thank you so much for providing the employees of the city with this effective and important opportunity to give back to the nonprofits that benefit from it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Lightning Super Creativity Disruptor Attack Dog. Absolutely agree with Commissioner Salzman. You know, what's interesting to me is we were talking the 25% overhead cost. Well, from my position, I guess I would have said, well, maybe we can do a little bit better. Let's just go 50%. But what you did, you did a complete waiver across the board and said, how about 75% like the state? Well, why not even higher? That doesn't even make sense when this 25% overhead cost was implemented, and now you just want to completely do away with it. Now, another issue I have is that when we're talking about these nonprofits, who's really doing the detailed research if there's been any complaints filed against them? Let's use an example from someone I have a lot of respect from, Commissioner Smith at Multnomah County. She's made a claim publicly, and it's in print, that Joanne Hardesty embezzled money from the NAACP. Now, with that being stated, Mayor, and you being a state treasurer, and knowing a complaint has been filed at this time, do you want your city employees giving money to the NAACP till we have an understanding what has really happened and that investigation is finalized? Or would you put them in jeopardy as the mayor of this city where their money might not even go to anything? It might disappear. Would you do that without at least sending them a disclaimer out first and saying, due to the information I've received from Pamplin Media, from various other media newspaper outlets, I have a concern and I'm going to address that. Here's a disclaimer. Make sure you understand I've done a disclaimer. Now, from Commissioner Salzman's position, get out of this. Don't do it anymore, city. There's too many issues, and it's right in the publication from Tuesday that if you can't read this, and at the City Club this Friday, you're going to hear about this over and over from the public on this issue. Do you want the city employees taking a chance with their money when this is in publication? If I was the mayor, I would say no. I would not even have this within the city. Push it off to the side. The employees are very intelligent people here. I have the greatest respect for you, even though I want to put a freeze on your salaries. And I know they have the ability to make the right decision where they want their money to go, and they don't need the city of Portland involved in this in any way. As Commissioner Salzman stated, get the city out. Look at this issue between Commissioner Smith and Joanne Hardesty. Get the city out of this mess. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you.
We have two more, Terry Thiessen and Diana Ogaz.
Welcome. Thanks for being here. Would you like to start, please? Thank you.
Good morning. On behalf of the All Hands Raised Partnership, I want to thank Mayor Wheeler and the City Commissioners here today for the opportunity to speak with you. My name is Terry Thiessen, and I am the Vice President for Strategic Planning for All Hands Raised. I'm also the parent of two PPS students, one a graduate and one a current student. The All Hands Raised Partnership has been fortunate to be included in the City of Portland's employee giving campaign since 1999. During that time, city employees have contributed nearly $292,000 to the school districts in the city of Portland and the schools. When we were first invited to participate in the campaign, we were known as the Portland Schools Foundation, which included all of the schools in the Portland Public School District. As of 2011, under the leadership of then Multnomah County Commissioner Chair Ted Wheeler, we expanded our mission to include all public school districts in Portland. That includes Centennial, David Douglas, Park Rose, Reynolds, Gresham Barlow, and the Multnomah Education Service District. This has become increasingly relevant as our central focus is to improve outcomes for kids of color and kids in poverty, 75% of which live in districts east of Portland Public Schools. The Workplace Giving Campaign is significant and impactful. Not only does it provide resource for schools and the students, but equally importantly, it gives us an opportunity to talk to city employees about the work we are doing at All Hands Raised Partnership, which focuses on equity to improve academic outcomes and lead to economic mobility in our city. On behalf of the All Hands Raised Partnership, I want to thank you. I want to thank the employees of the City of Portland and Janet Storm and her team for their focus and effort that you have put on giving back to this community and supporting your nonprofit partners in making Portland a city where community health and well-being is a clear priority. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you.
Hello, good morning. My name is Diana, and I am very fascinated by this specific topic. Our city has a lot of wonderful nonprofit organizations that are helping our citizens really thrive. And I think that, you know, when we have the 2019 charitable campaign, that's a huge benefit because we are encouraging our fellow communities to give back and to help each other out. Helping each other out is what makes us a strong, strong community where we come from very different backgrounds, and it's our diversity that unites us. There are 47 nonprofits that didn't make the cut, and although I do wish that all nonprofits could make the cut, because I think that it's absolutely important, I think that it is very important to maintain the integrity for the people who are going to expensing their own finances out of their paycheck. When you have people who, you know, work really, really hard, it's difficult to draw that line on where the cap is. For me, myself, I am currently trying to create a nonprofit website. I've missed that cap this year, but that just gives me hope for next year to really get my ducks in a row, to learn what it is that I need to do in order to qualify and hopefully be one of the 25 next year. I agree with Commissioner Udaly in the fact that maybe, you know, we create a special bracket so those people who didn't make it into the top 25 have the opportunity to continue to promote something that is going to help enrich our community. But it is imperative for anyone who is expensing their money to know exactly where it's going and to also know what they're paying for, because there is, I mean, the fact that 25 people did make it, that's showing that they're doing the things that they need to do, and it's not a fault on the 47 that didn't make it. It just means that we need to tighten it up. And if we could create a special bracket so employees know that these 47 charitables, communities right here, nonprofits, if they are wanting to expense their money, they at least know what they're giving it to, so that everyone has an option. Because to falsely say that someone maintained the cap when they didn't, it's going to create a problem for next year. And for people who are trying to do the right thing, it's very discouraging to see that get pushed forward.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Does that conclude testimony?
That's all who signed up, yes.
Very good. And just so, what, could I get Carmen, maybe, or some, either of you, sorry, you probably both have the answer. So the question here, this isn't public resources, this is the employees' own funds.
Correct.
And we are creating a platform, as we have for a gazillion years, for them to make a holiday contribution to a nonprofit organization of their choice.
Correct.
And as I understand the current context, we are obviously seeking to eliminate the cap on administrative overhead.
For 1 year.
For one year, which would bring us into alignment with other jurisdictions that do not have this cap. I agree that this will create attention on the question of administrative overhead. And during this time of year, there are always lots and lots of news stories about administrative overhead. Is there a way through this campaign? And my view on this is, I'm honestly, of the opinion that we are providing the platform and our employees, and I would admonish them to do their research before they make a charitable contribution to any organization. And I would repeat that as often as people want me to repeat that. You should not willy-nilly give money to anybody just because you've heard the name before or you know what they've done in the past. You should do your homework, do a Google search, be thorough about where you choose to put your very precious philanthropic dollars. Is there a way through our campaign that we could list some of the basic information, the name of the organization,
Absolutely.
What the organization says their mission is, you know, based on their own words and their own disclosure of what their overhead is, and then let our employees decide.
Yeah.
Is there a way to do that?
Absolutely.
That's a great idea, and I guess I would carry it a little bit further, and I would suggest we amend this ordinance to require that, but every nonprofit has to file with the Department of Justice. It's a form 99 or something like 990?
It's a CT-10, I think.
Yeah. Every nonprofit in the state must file that form, and they do an administrative rate as the rules Department of Justice provides. Why don't we require, or why don't we just list the administrative rate per the form 990 or whatever it is on the enrollment? And let our employees make their own decisions accordingly. So I think it's just, I think the mayor's idea is great, and I would propose that as an amendment.
Okay. I'll second it. Okay. You know, my view is let's not exclude organizations from this list. Let's give our employees that information, transparency.
Yeah.
Let them make the calls. Let them do the Google search. Let them answer the questions they want answered.
That's great.
I don't see how anybody could object to that. Commissioner Udaly?
What information would this provide to the public that's not already available to them?
Well, I'm proposing, well,
I'll give my perspective, and then you can give your perspective. All of this information is already readily available to anybody who chooses to look. And as Commissioner Saltzman just said, there are required state filings, and I think at some percentage you actually lose your ability to file at the state. I want to say it's like 70%. Okay, great. I don't want to misspeak on that point. This is a question that is regularly raised, and I think it would actually engender some good conversations between potential donors and the organizations if they say, hey, you know, you appear to be on the higher side. Why are you on the higher side? And let them have that conversation. If, from my perspective, since we're not using city funds, this is actually employees making their own decisions about their own funds. I would go one of two ways on this. I'd either say let's just put the information out there and let them decide, or let's put no information and just tell them, you know.
Do your own research.
Caveat emptor. You're on your own. In this case, I think it's a legitimate point of discussion for nonprofits. I know that when I make a contribution, I always am curious to know where is the money actually going and how is it being spent. And I contribute to organizations that give considerably that have overhead that are, it's considerably higher than 25%, but I know why it's higher than 25%.
So our state limit, if I'm understanding this correctly, is 70%.
Correct.
So there are safeguards at the state level, and I'm expecting we have some guarantee that all of the organizations who participate are in compliance with all state and federal requirements.
Yes, I checked their... They have current licenses with the state.
So are we we're effectively raising our cap from 25 to 70% by doing this? Because anyone over 70% wouldn't qualify at the state level.
What I think the mayor and I are proposing is that we simply make the information available to our employees, mm-hmm. like a link.
Yep.
You have the name of the organization, EarthShare, whatever it is. Here's a link to the Form 990. To see what they told the Department of Justice their administrative rate is for that year. It could be a link or it could be in print. I know most people do this online now.
Yeah, it's online, correct.
Yeah, but I think we should put a link right near the charity's name to the Form 990 at the Department of Justice or publish the rate, you know.
Which is effectively raising the limit to 70.
We're just providing
something?
The information.
Take that as a friendly amendment because I actually like just linking to the form that everybody has the same platform, same information. So I'll accept that as a friendly amendment to the amendment.
Okay.
Can I call the roll on the amendment? Commissioner Udaly, do you have more questions on that point?
No.
Okay, great.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
All right, the amendment's adopted. Any further discussion on any of this?
Thank you very much.
Wait, the amendment to the item, but then the item has to come back?
Two weeks, it's a non-emergency now. Thank you.
So, wait, don't go so fast. This is a really important program. And as mayor, I want to do everything I can to help support it. I'm a little disappointed with the number Dan just threw out, that a very small percentage of our employees participate. And maybe
we're going big this year, Mayor.
Yeah, well, maybe there's some value added.
But don't assume they don't give outside the program.
So let's work together and see what we can do. You've done fantastic work on this. I am grateful as an employee of the city to have this option. And I appreciate all the good work that you guys put into this. So without further ado, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading as amended.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. All right, we're gonna